would you turn with me? In the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah. I know I say this all the time, but so many of you know the Bible so well. I'm not showing you a verse you never saw before. I promise you, you're not going to say, wow, I never saw that verse before. You've seen this verse probably 100 times, and most of you, I probably know it by heart. This happens to be my favorite chapter of the Old Testament. It's Isaiah 40. You all not familiar with Isaiah 40? Yes, you are. You are. If you've ever gone to see the Messiah, you know Isaiah 40. Because it's how the Messiah starts. Comfort ye my people. And it ends with that marvelous, marvelous verse. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Let's read it or quote it together. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, when you do something with joy, just to touch that theme for just a moment. When you do something with joy, you get joy in doing that. You do it differently, don't you? It's not wearisome. It's not boring. It's not tiring. You just get tired of it. If any of you have been around the grounds, if you remember a couple of days ago, I told you that my son said, Dad, running makes me happy. That's the excuse for those of you who have been around. Every time you've seen that little guy, whether it be in the dining room, whether it be on the roads, what's he doing? He's running. Why? Because Dad, running makes me happy. Joy in any endeavor changes everything about that endeavor. And if you notice here, although it doesn't say joy per se, but did you notice, although we only got a smattering, did you notice how many of those verses on joy were from the book of Isaiah? Did you notice that? How many were from the book of Isaiah? I wonder how the Lord renews our strength, causes us to mount up with wings as eagle. Yes, it's by His Spirit, certainly, but I believe that a very big part of that, perhaps maybe one of the jet engines on that flight, is joy. He injects joy into our lives, into our circumstances, into our situations, into everything that we do. And boy, when that happens, things are changed. Things are changed. And I'd like to talk to you just a little bit about that mounting up with wings like eagles. I'd like to talk a little bit tonight about the joy of flying. How many people here like to fly? Now, I don't mean you can fly. I hope you like to fly, Hofflanders. You're going to be doing it pretty soon, huh? How, you like to fly? You know, my sister, she's deathly afraid of flying. She's not afraid of going to heaven. She had a heart operation a few years ago and said, if I go to heaven, I go to heaven. That's okay with me. See mom, dad, see Jesus. She's not afraid of that. Some people are afraid because they're, you know, going to die and go down in flames and all that kind of stuff. But she's just afraid of it. She's just afraid of it. She doesn't like the sensation of it. Well, my little guy, we took him on a vacation a couple of weeks ago, beginning of the summer, and I was a little worried about how he would deal with the flying. I didn't know. You know, that's pretty, you know, that pilot gives it the gas and you get off and he really nails it and you're going up and you're in your seat. And then when you finally get to cruising altitude, he kind of levels off and pulls back on the engines and you're like, you know that feeling I'm talking about? When you kind of level off and all of a sudden you feel a little weightless and feels like feels almost like the pilot turned the engines off because they've been driving all that time. And then, of course, when you start to land, I was with one of Christian's uncles quite a few years ago. A couple of us were going on vacation together and having a good time. And it was just after there had been several plane crashes. That's always encouraging, right? Well, we were on the plane and we had been up for a few hours and all of a sudden you could feel, you know, you can feel when the pilot is beginning his descent, you know, and I turned to my cousin Dave and I said, we're going down. And he looked at me and he said, did you have to put it that way? I said, you know what I mean. He goes, yeah, I know what you mean. But did you have to put it that way? Well, you know, you start to go down and the ears start popping. Anybody have that? You know, in your ears, you got to swallow a little bit or put your, you know, you blow like that, like the scuba divers do and equalize the pressure and all of that. Well, I wondered how Sammy was going to do. I wondered how, you know, my wife was a little concerned about his, you know, his little ears and all, you know, those physical therapists, they worry about everything. Well, so we started to talk to him a little bit. In the weeks ahead, we started to tell him a little bit about, yo, Sam, you know, we take off in the van and start to get going on the highway or on the parkway and give it the gas a little bit, you know. Some of us are a little lead-footed, right, Sister Marie, and hit that gas. And I'd say, Sam, you know, this is going to be a little bit like this on the airplane, except it's going to be a lot faster. You're going to get to see things. And, you know, we just try to talk to him a little bit. Well, the day came. And there he was walking through the airport with his little carry-along, Toy Story, I think it was, little suitcase. You know what he had in there? He had Bunny. Some of you know who Bunny is. He had Bunny. He had all the important things. He had his bone pillow that he likes to sleep with. You know what you really need to take with you on vacation. All the important stuff. Mom had the underwear and all that stuff. But Sammy had the important stuff. And he walked through the airport. He wouldn't let anybody take that suitcase. We got onto the airplane, of course. He got to sit by the window. When Dad really wanted to sit by the window, but sacrifices must be made, right, Brother Tom? Sacrifices must be made. And so he sat by the window, and we went taxiing out, and everything was going smoothly. Then we made that turn, and boom, we're at the end of the runway. Newark Liberty Airport. Here we go, Sam. And all of a sudden, you could feel the brakes locked, the engines start to rev. The plane starts to shake, and a little more, and all of a sudden off come the brakes, and off we go, faster, faster, 80 knots, 90 knots, 100 knots, 110 knots, and all of a sudden that boom, 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 from going down the runway stopped. We were in the air, and you know what happens? As soon as those wheels get off the ground, now that pilot really gets serious and whoosh, and boom, off into the wild blue yonder. And I looked over at Sam and I half expected to see. And he looked up and I looked over, just glanced over at him, and he looked at me and he went. He was having a grand old time. I said, look, Sam, there's New York City. There's Newark. There's this, there's that. Look how high we're going. Isn't this great? And he said, are we at the tropical ocean yet? I said, not for a little while. Not for a little while. And we did, we went to the tropical ocean. But the joy of flight. I don't know if you can kind of get the feel, but there's something about flying that I think is awesome. I'm still like a little kid when it comes to airplanes. Maybe that's because I don't have to travel for business. If you have to travel for business, that's one thing. I have a cousin, his aunt, who Aunt Grace, who travels for business all the time. And for her, getting on an airplane is, oh, I got to fly again. For me, every time in my life I've gotten on an airplane, I've been going somewhere fun. I've been going somewhere fun. I've been going on a vacation. And so to me, I walk into an airport, it's party time. It's great. I'm excited. I can't wait. The vacation has already begun for me. Well, I want to tell you something. When you leave here, whenever that might be, God has been teaching us things, I trust, I hope. Maybe not through what I've taught you, maybe through something else. I pray that God, even if it's just by His Spirit, in your quiet times, has been teaching you, doing a work in your life. But I got a guarantee to make for you. You ready? Like I said, I'm no prophet. This isn't a thus says the Lord, anything like that. But I'm going to make you a guarantee. What the Lord did for you while you've been here at camp, the enemy is going to challenge it. The enemy is going to challenge it. He's not just going to sit back and say, well, yeah, he was at Pilgrim Camp. I guess I might as well give up on him. Or, you know, Brother Daniel and his family, they were at Pilgrim Camp. I guess that's it. I guess they're on their way to heaven. I might as well go look for somebody else in that greater Dallas area and see who I can get my hands on. Uh-uh. He's going to challenge exactly what God did for you. Guarantee it. Because that's one of the ways he works. He doesn't give up ground easily. He always wants it back. He always wants it back. Now, I'm not telling this to scare you, because this is actually about joy. But when that thing is challenged, when what God is working on in your life, or whatever it may be, it may even be something else, he may choose to wait a while. It may not be as soon as you step off the grounds and bam, he's going to hit you with something. It may be down the road. He may let you think it's easy sailing, smooth sailing, and all of a sudden, like when you're flying in an airplane. I love boring flights, though. As much as I like flying, I love boring flights. You know what I mean by that? Real smooth. You don't even know you're moving. But every once in a while, a captain comes on and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting reports that there is some moderate, don't you love this? Moderate turbulence ahead. And so we're going to ask everyone to fasten their seatbelts, and we're going to put the fasten seatbelt sign back on." I heard a pastor one time who does a lot of traveling say, "You know what a pilot really means when he says we're expecting some moderate turbulence? You know what he really means? If you've got any religious affiliations, it's time to start calling those in." One time I was flying, and the pilot got on and says, "We're getting some reports of severe turbulence ahead. We're going to light the fasten seatbelt sign." I wasn't happy. I was like, "Oh, severe turbulence? What happened to moderate turbulence? I thought everything was moderate. Now it's going to be severe." And so we buckled up, and I was sitting there saying, "All right, well, whatever, Lord, you know, here we go. Let's see what happens. My life is in your hands anyway, Lord." But you know what I did? It's interesting. Just a little side note, a little story within a story. I watched the stewardesses. And this whole time that we're all strapped in, you know, ready to go, the stewardesses were up in the galley where the food was. And one head stewardess, she's leaning against the wall, and they're talking, and she's drinking a cup of coffee. And I'm thinking, now they know what's going on. They're in direct connection with the cockpit there. And if they're standing there drinking coffee, I don't need to get too worried about it. And it was interesting, because you know what happened? We never hit any turbulence. About 10 minutes later, the lights went off. I went like that, and I went back to reading my book. But I love boring flights. Well, you know, you may be sailing along. The enemy may just let you sail along, smooth sailing. And all of a sudden, a wind out of nowhere, a storm, a Euroclydon, for those of you, that old King James Version, will hit you out of nowhere to try to knock you off your feet and steal what God has done and is doing and wants to do for you. When that happens, I'm going to give you a couple of options. Now, if you're familiar at all with the story of Pilgrim's Progress, you should be. You're in Pilgrim Camp. Should be at least somewhat familiar with the story. If you know Pilgrim's Progress, very often when Christian or Pilgrim is faced with difficulty, you know how it is often pictured? As a hill, as a mountain. One of them is actually called the Hill Difficulty. The Hill of Difficulty. You're going to be faced with hills of difficulty. You are. That's just the way it happens, and so am I. We're all going to be faced with those hills of difficulty. There are three options of what you can do. Three options. Here we go. Listen to this. You pick the one that you think fits your personality best. Number one, you can grit your teeth, you can brace yourself, and you can just try to smash your way in your own strength through that hill. You can just get out an old jackhammer and you can just try to tunnel your way right through that hill in your own strength, in your own power, your own ideas, your own solutions. You can work hard at it, and you know what? You might even get through. You may actually come out on the other side. That's the first option. The second option is you can say, huh, I'm climbing this hill. Ain't got no jackhammer. Let's go this way and see what happens. And you can try to skirt around it. You can try to avoid it. Try to be a little shrewd. After all, the Bible does say, wise as serpents. Be a little shrewd, maybe, and try to get around it. And might get lost a little. Might wander a little. Might end up having to backtrack. But you might end up on the other side. You may find yourself on the other side. And they go, wow, interesting. How'd I get here? Option number three is what we've been talking about tonight. You can try to pound through it. You can try to wander around it. I know what you think the next one is, don't you? What do you think the next option is? Climb it, right? I'm going to give you a different option. The Word of God gives us a different option. And you know what it is? Fly over it. Fly over it. Take wing and mount up with wings as eagles and fly over that obstacle. Fly over that temptation, that difficulty that is brought into your life. Literally, fly over it. They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Yes, it's poetic, but it's more than poetic. It is a description of what God wants to do in our lives when we face those mountains, when we face those difficulties. We run and not be weary. We walk and not faint. I like those too. You like those, Nina, don't you? Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Our track star over there. But I'd rather fly. I would rather fly. But the question, perhaps, tonight that I want to leave you with is this. How do we do it? How do we fly? Of course, we wait upon the Lord. That's what it says. We wait upon the Lord. But how does it work? Many years ago, when I first started teaching, I had a friend who I got to know through work. He was what they call the tech ed teacher, technology education. See, when a lot of us went to school, a lot of us old timers, you had wood shop, you had metal shop, you had mechanical drawing, right? Well, those were the tech kind of things. Yeah, maybe, you know, whatever it was. Well, now, you know, now we're advanced. So we don't have metal shop and wood shop, mechanical drawing. Now we have technology education. Technology education. And it's not housewifery anymore. It's not home economics in school anymore. You know what it is, Sister Marie? You know what it is? It's life skills. It's still how to make muffins, and but now it's life skills. But anyway, in tech ed, they really do some techie stuff. They build rockets. They build drag racing cars that are, you know, work on compressed air. They do all kind of cool stuff. And he does a unit on flight. And so I went to him and I says, you know, I like flying. It's so cool. Let me borrow one of your textbooks. I just want to read the chapter on airplanes. I just want to read how they work. I mean, I have the basic idea, but I mean, what is actually, how does that whole thing work? And you know, it was interesting. Because when I came to understand a little bit more about how they work, I became so much more secure when I got on an airplane. Understanding that you know that when an airplane flies, it's not the wind that goes underneath the airplane that lifts it up. Did you know that? It's not the wind that goes underneath the airplane that lifts it up. It's the wind that goes over it that lifts the airplane up in the air. And that was just all news to me. I never knew that kind of stuff. And it made it so interesting. And so what I want to leave you with, to help you to keep the joy of the Lord, to keep going on, is just very quick, two or three things. How the Lord gives us the power to mount up with wings as eagles. And it's so closely related to actual flight. You see, God knows how to fly. He understands all the physics and all the technology behind it. And so when we read some of these things, as we learn about flight and learn about those things, all of a sudden it becomes very clear, very, very clear to us. To fly, if you're going to fly in an airplane, you basically need two things. There are other things, but basically you need two things. First, you need wings. You need wings. Now, unless you're in some kind of rocket ship going into outer space, hey, but even the space shuttle's got wings, doesn't it? Wings work very, very well to fly. And you know what? God has given us two wings to help us to fly. And you know what they are? Listen to them. They are surrender and they are trust. Surrender and trust. When you are faced with something, you can, like I said, you can start taking things into your own hand, you can start working things out by yourself, start scheming, start planning, or you can surrender to the one who knows all, who knows everything. And in surrendering to him, you are basically saying, I trust you. You can't have one without the other. You can't say you trust the Lord and not surrender to him. You can't do it. How can you truly say, I mean, if we were climbing up or something, and say we were mountain climbing or doing something, I said, Chris, come on, I'll pull you up. Really, Uncle John? It's my nephew, by the way. Really? Okay, I trust you. All right, Chris, give me your hand. Uh-uh. Don't you trust me? Sure, I trust you. Give me your hand. It doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. If we surrender, we must trust him. They work hand in hand. Those are two of the beautiful wings. And you who study, you could find more. But surrender and trust are so marvelous, and they fit so well with what we've been talking about this week. The other thing you need is you need wind. You need wind. Wind, now check this out. Wind, literally, when you fly, now I'm no big expert, I'm not an aeronautical engineer, but when you fly, wind acts as resistance. Lift. It is the resistance of that wind that lifts you up. God allows. See, you might ask yourself, Lord, okay, I'm being told that it seems like you're going to let the enemy challenge me. I thought you're supposed to look after me. I thought you're supposed to protect me. I thought you're supposed to be my shepherd. I thought I'm supposed to hear your voice and follow you, and things are going to be wonderful. And the Lord looks at you and says, yes, it is going to be wonderful. But just like an airplane, if there's no resistance, there's no lift. And the reason I will, in my sovereign will, allow, you see, devil doesn't do anything unless God allows it. I will allow the enemy to challenge you is because there's more. I want to take you higher. This is good, but there's more. Where you're at, yes, I brought you this far, but I can still take you higher. But the way I'm going to do it is by bringing those, allowing those things to come into your life, allowing you to continue to learn, to surrender to me, to trust me, and then I will lift you higher and higher and higher and higher into my will, into my glory, into my ways. That's why God allows these things to happen to us. God doesn't allow trials to come into our lives to break us down. The Lord allows things to come into our lives because he wants to make you an overcomer. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to come over those things. We tonight, if we had more time, I appreciated the testimonies that we had. There are so many scriptures about being an overcomer, an overcomer, an overcomer, an overcomer. And it's not just in Revelation, but to he who overcomes, to he who overcomes. I write these things to you, little children, that you may overcome the world, that we can overcome. God wants you to be an overcomer. How does he do that? He lifts you up. You don't become an overcomer by just having good willpower. You don't become an overcomer by being have a little more intestinal fortitude than other Christians. You become an overcomer through surrender and through trust. And in doing that, you allow him to take you up, to to take you higher, to take you over. There's a beautiful verse, if you want to just take a peek at it. Many of you, again, know this verse, but it's in Romans 8. That great life in the Spirit. That great life in the Spirit. You know where Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In Romans 8, verse 2, he says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you know? Every single one of us are subject to the law of gravity, aren't we? Some of us are a little more subject to it than others. But we're all subject to the law of gravity. But you know what happens when you fly? Do you know what happens? The laws of flight supersede the laws of gravity. You are literally overcoming the laws of gravity, and the laws of flight, the physics of flight, are overruling those laws and lifting you up into the sky. My son Sammy was convinced on that flight that we had gone into outer space. We ended up going down to Uncle Ken's neck of the woods down in Florida. And when we got there, he said, Dad, do you know where Florida is? I said, yes, Sam. It's down by the tropical ocean, because that's where he wanted to go. He says, no, Dad. Florida is on Jupiter. Florida is on Jupiter, because we had taken off. And so, of course, when you take off, where do you go? You go into outer space. You didn't know you lived on Jupiter. Oh, there is a Jupiter in Florida, isn't there? But that's not where we went. That's not where we went. But the Lord takes us up. There is a law. There is a law, the law of the Spirit, that supersedes the law of the flesh. You can walk in the flesh and try to pound through that mountain. You can walk in the flesh and try to walk around that mountain, or even maybe climb that mountain. But I tell you what, if you allow God's Spirit to work in you, there is a higher law. There is another law that supersedes that law of gravity and lifts you and causes you to mount up with wings like eagles. This is the way God wants us to go through those trials throughout our entire lives. What's the result? Wow, we could be here another 45 minutes, but we're not. Two things. What is the result of the joy of flight, of trusting our Savior, our Lord, and His Spirit, waiting upon Him and causing Him to lift us up and over and beyond those things? Here we go. First, you experience the joy, the exhilaration of surrender and trust. Boy, surrender and trust don't sound particularly thrilling, do they? If you really think about it, surrender, trust. Well, okay, if you say so. Doesn't sound particularly thrilling. Surrender and trust in our God. You will learn the exhilaration, the joy of trusting Him. And secondly, you will see things in a new perspective. You know what happens when you fly? All of a sudden, you're up in the air and you're looking down and you're like, wow, is this where I live? Is this my area? One time we were flying in from Michigan, of all places, and I guess we kind of had to wait a little bit. Kind of had to wait to get in line. And then if you know where I'm at, from down in the sort of the central Jersey area, it's like the pilot, I could have sworn that the tower told him, go joyriding for a while. Because all we did, and we were down pretty low, we just were kind of flying around over central Jersey. We were just kind of flying around, and I was looking down, and there was Rutgers, the state university. Wow, look, there's the new football stadium. That's pretty cool. Now we're flying over here, and I could see our whole area. I'd grown up there my entire life. And I looked, and I said, wow, I never saw it like this. I've never had this view. Although I've been here, at that point, I guess about 44, 45 years, I'd never seen it like that. And all of a sudden, we started coming up on the Driscoll Bridge, if any of you know the parkway, you know, which exit in New Jersey, which exit you live off of. Started coming up over the Driscoll Bridge, just south of Newark Liberty International Airport. And all of a sudden, the pilot hit a left, and he punched it, and we were in line, and we landed. But for those few minutes, it was so thrilling to see roads and areas that I had driven my whole life with an entirely new perspective. And when you allow Jesus, His Spirit, to lift you, over those circumstances, over those situations, over those trials. All of a sudden, you find out that you're looking down at them. And you see them in a way that you've never seen them before. And that is one of the ways in which we can come to say, but God. Because we see it from God's perspective. And we come to understand, this is working out for my good, for my glory, for my growth. And then when it's time, like being on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord sets you down and brings you down on the other side. But you know that you are still in His hands. You're still in His hands. This promise is very, very sure. Those who wait upon the Lord. You know, to wait upon Him, you have to trust Him. It means you got to stand still for a minute to see the salvation of the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And one of the reasons for that is that God will fill you with His joy. And maybe like Sammy, as you run, as you fly, whatever it is, this makes me happy. This makes me happy. And that's how we walk this life, even in the midst of trials, with joy. And you find that you haven't been walking, you've been flying the whole time. Let's bow our heads in closing, shall we? Father, You are so good to us. We thank You for all the help that You promise us in Your Word. Lord, You have not, and You will never leave us alone. And I ask that You will help us to fully appropriate all that is ours as Your children. Lord, I pray as we face trials, and we do face trials, as the enemy tests us and tries to cause us to turn back, I pray, Lord, that You will cause us to turn our eyes upon You, to trust You, to offer ourselves, to surrender ourselves to You, and to take flight. And to know that it's not because of us, but it is You who are doing this work in us. Lord, I pray that from this room, that You will bring many overcomers to glory. I pray, Lord, that we will all be overcomers and not overcome by the evil one. Do this for us, Lord. Do this for us. Lift us up, Lord. Lift us up into the heavenlies. Cause us to take wing and fly. This is what You offer us, Lord, and we take it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.